Scratch nodded toward a sign on a business building that said Red Top Cafe.
How we fix for dinero, Bo?
We have a little left from that poker game in Cheyenne.
Enough for a good meal after a long ride?
Yeah, but I thought you wanted to start saving up our pesos so we could try to make it south to someplace warmer before winter sets in.
Well, I did. It's hard on these old bones of mine to spend the cold months this far north, but, well, I got to thinking. What are the chances we'll really come up with enough money to do that?
I don't know. Can't ever tell. We might find something that would make us some money.
Yeah, and we might starve to death before then, too. So, might as well get us a good meal now and postpone that terrible end.
All right. Reckon we might as well.
They rode over to the hitch rail in front of the cafe and dismounted. A low boardwalk ran in front of the buildings on this side of the street. The Texans stepped up onto it and were about to enter the place.
Blast it! I said I was having a kiss with my piece of pie, and I meant it!
Maybe we ought to find some other place to eat.
I don't think so. Come on.
The Red Top was a neatly kept place with a number of tables covered by checkered tablecloths. To the right was a lunch counter with stools along it. Behind the counter, a pass-through was cut into the wall between the dining room and the kitchen. Also on that wall were a blackboard with the day's menu and prices chalked on it, and a couple of shelves with several pies and cakes sitting on them. A small wood-burning stove behind the counter kept a pot of coffee warm. Another stove squatted in the rear corner of the dining room, giving off enough heat to keep out the chill from the wind blowing outside. Since the hour was getting close to the middle of the day, quite a few of the tables were occupied by men eating lunch. Some of the stools at the counter had been until recently, too, judging by the abandoned plates half full of food and the men Bo saw standing back along the wall. Some of them were still clutching napkins, as if they had just gotten up and hurried out of harm's way. Harm's way was a good description of the man who stood in front of the counter, glaring across it at the woman behind it. He was tall and broad-shouldered, with heavy muscles that bulged the flannel shirt he wore. Dark beard stubble grew on the slab-like jaw he thrust out defiantly. The woman was in her 30s, with work-roughened hands and enough lines in her face to show that life hadn't always treated her kindly. Thick auburn hair was pulled into a bun on the back of her head and pinned into place.
Come on, Sue Beth. It's not gonna hurt you, and you know it. One kiss, that's all I'm asking.
And it's one more kiss than you're gonna get, Reese Bardwell. I will sell you pieces of pie all day long if you want, but my kisses are not for sale, sir.
Hold it right there, amigo.
Are you talking to me, mister?
Well, now you seem to be the only one in the place making a jackass of himself, so I reckon I am.
Mister, you don't have to get mixed up in this. This is between me and my customer.
Not anymore, it ain't. This old rooster wants to horn in and start crowing, he's gonna have to pay the price. You know what happens to an old rooster, mister?
Why don't you tell me?
He gets his neck wrung!
The big man lunged at Scratch. Scratch jerked to the side and lowered a shoulder, causing Bardwell's attempted grab to miss. As he stepped closer to Bardwell, Scratch's right fist whipped up and out in a wicked blow that sank solidly into his opponent's midsection. Unfortunately, Bardwell didn't even seem to feel it. He brought his right fist hammering down on top of Scratch's head, driving him to one knee. Bardwell reached down, grabbed Scratch's buckskin jacket, and hauled him up again. Bo acted before his friend could get hurt too badly. He slipped his Colt from its holster, pointed it at Bardwell, and eared back the hammer. That sound was enough to make Bardwell freeze, with one hand bunched in Scratch's coat and the other drawn back and clenched to deliver another thunderous blow.
Let him go.
Who are you?
His friend. Also, the fellow who's gonna blow your kneecap apart with a 45 slug in about 2 seconds if you don't let go of him and step back.
For a second, Bo thought Bardwell was going to be stubborn enough that he'd have to go through with that threat. But then the hand holding up Scratch opened. And the Texan slumped against the counter. The woman reached across it to take hold of his arm and steady him while he got his feet under himself again.
This was none of your business, but you made it that way. You'd best remember that.
I'm not likely to forget. Have you paid the lady for whatever you ate?
I'm not gonna.
Have you paid the lady?
He doesn't owe me anything.
And I suggest you mosey on out of here, friend.
I ain't your friend. You better remember that.
I can live with that. As long as you leave.
Bo stepped back to cover Bardwell as the giant stomped past him and out of the cafe. Bo moved to the door and watched as Bardwell moved off down Main Street. He didn't pouch his iron until he felt fairly sure Bardwell wasn't coming back.